It is a joy to be here this morning already. Has been a joy and a blessing. And I was thinking as the brothers were sharing, I would have enough for a full week. And I'm guessing maybe that's how you would find it for yourself. Thank you so much, brothers, for sharing on that. That was a good word to us this morning on the life of Noah there, faithful man. And then also on, I think, a very familiar subject to us, brothers and sisters, is the very thing of anger in our lives, what a hindrance that can be. And I was just thinking, as Brother Mose was sharing there, you know, how many of us look like a balloon this morning? Do we have any anger in our hearts this morning? Are we here? Do we look like a balloon? Do I look like a balloon standing up here? Maybe I do. If I do, please pop me, because I don't want any part of that in my life, and I trust that all of us here would find it that way. I plan to speak on a virtue this morning that has been talked about quite a bit, and I was so blessed this morning already with confirmation from the Lord that His burden on my heart is for some reason other than what I'm aware of. I was going to share on a different subject this morning, but God kept redirecting my heart this week, and all of you know that we've had a pretty busy week, and I didn't feel like I had a lot of time for detours in my study. But God kept taking what I was trying to get together and taking that away, and I'm thinking, this is not going quite as well. And so all of a sudden, He laid a different burden on my heart, and I plan to try to share on that this morning by the grace of God. This morning, the verse that I wanted to read has been read to us in prayer, and that verse is in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this way, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Talking about God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That's what I want to talk about this morning, is faith. Why is faith so important? Is faith important? Is it just something that's an option, or is faith important this morning to us? I would say that according to Hebrews 11, verse 6 here, it is, if we plan to see God one day, that is the only way. It is the very link that will connect our hearts, that it is the very link that will connect us to God, is faith, according to Hebrews here. And if we don't have faith in our hearts this morning, we are none of His. That's what Hebrews is saying here this morning. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." We must first believe that there is a God. Maybe I should ask a question this morning. Do you believe there is a God? Is anybody in here that doesn't believe there is a God? Maybe a better question would be, do you believe that He believes in you? Do you think that God knows you? Do you believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? You know, sometimes I think all of us grew up in a home, or most of us grew up in a Christian home, and we have no problem believing there is a God. But probably where we fumble the most is to believe that God cares about us as little human beings. So when I think about talking about faith, if I want a Bible character to talk or speak on, who would you choose? In your mind, when we think about faith or the subject of faith, who do you go to? Abraham. That's not who I'm going to talk about today. But the Bible does say that Abraham is the father of faith. But there's quite many others too. There's another character in the Bible that is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter here. And that person is Rahab. Okay? Why would I choose Rahab to speak about faith? Well, the reason I have chosen to speak on Rahab's life is because I have been amazed at how I see God through this whole thing. Why was Rahab considered a faithful person. Why is she even mentioned in the book of Hebrews amongst the faithful? Why is Rahab even mentioned there? She was a prostitute. Do we know that? Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho, and God said she is one of His. How did that happen? Why is she mentioned even in the Bible? Being a prostitute, how did God, why did the spies even go to her house? Have we ever thought that? Have we ever wondered about that? The reason I chose to speak on Rahab is, the first thing we want to look at, faith is for ordinary people. It's not just attained by the great Moses, the great Abraham, the great Joshuas, the great Davids, the great Sarahs, the great Jobs, and the list can go on of the great men that are mentioned, and I am not taking them down. I believe in them. They are the great heroes of faith. But Rahab, of all people, was in that list. Does God accept her? Or was this just a mishap? Did God just put her in there? Those are some things we want to look at today, if the Lord tarry. We will be reading in the book of Joshua, the second chapter, so we can turn there. That's where we find the account of Rahab. The second chapter of Joshua, right after Deuteronomy. And while you're turning there, I'll ask back to the thing of why is faith so important? Like I said, it is the very link that connects our heart to the very God of heaven. And I had to think of my own experience, and you can think of your experience, how you came to know the Lord. But when I became a Christian, that was the very key that unlocked my heart from believing in my own righteousness that I had and believing that I was a lost sinner, was faith in a living God. I remember so clearly when I was struggling with this thing, after I was so deeply convicted in my heart, Brother Mose, that I couldn't stamp myself. I knew that if I died right then, I would go to hell. But how do I get away from that? I was panicking, and I was lost, and I knew I was lost. And the very thing that I finally got to the point, I remember wrestling with this thing, and this was all in one short period of time. I'm the type of person, once I realize that there's something wrong, I won't go to sleep like that. Something has to change, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes it ain't. But I wrestled with the Lord right there, and that's what kept coming to my mind. Henry, you must be lost first before you can be saved. But I wasn't really lost because I had righteousness of my own, so I thought. And I knew that if I told God that I'm lost, He would probably smite me dead right there, because God doesn't take a lie lightly. So that was my reasoning and my own human reasoning. But finally, when I had enough faith in my heart to just trust God with my life and look up and tell God that, God, I'm lost, I need your help. That was the key to unlock salvation. I didn't receive it right then and there, but it was the key. And that's what I want to say about faith this morning. It is the very key to unlock. If you're in bondage here this morning, you're struggling with something. Maybe it's a sin in your life. Maybe it's a stronghold. Maybe it's something that God has been trying to deal with you. Just have enough faith to give Him the keys this morning. See, that's what Rahab did. We'll start reading here in Joshua 2. Maybe we'll glean a few points from this as we go. And I don't think I'm going to take time to read the whole thing, but we'll see where we end up here. Joshua 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. Now I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version this morning. If I don't get all my dentures twisted up in the meantime, I think I'll be all right. So if you can't quite follow, that's the case. Okay. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come in to search out all the country." Have you ever wondered why they were fearful? Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Verse 8, "Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to the men," listen to this, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted." Did your heart ever melt before the Lord? Do we see here just a little glimpse into Rahab's life and maybe why she is mentioned in the book of Hebrews and in the book of James and throughout the Bible? Did you catch that? "As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token," verse 13, "and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So then the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelled on the wall, and she said to them, "Go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear." Verse 18, "Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless, and whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him." What a faith she had in God, as we read back here in verse 8. How did Rahab believe God? We'll stop reading there for right now. We might come back then later on. But let's back up to verse 8. "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof." What provoked Rahab to come up to these people? How did she know? See, there was years before, about 30, 40 years before that, is when the spies were sent out to the land of Canaan. And Jericho was probably one of the biggest threats that the 10 had they backed off of, because it just looked like giants. There was walls all the way around, and it was we're not going there. Jericho is just too big for us. But here, little did they know that what God was doing behind the scene for them, when they had hardly any faith at all, what God was doing for them behind the scene, and what it did to a harlot in the city of Jericho. Do we get that? Can we see that? So one of my points here, my point number one was faith is for ordinary people. Sometimes we might feel like we're just amongst the less fortunate. We're not as smart as a lot of these other people. We're not as highly educated as a lot of people. And that will be my second point, is faith is in the heart, not in the mind. Faith is in your heart, not in your mind. And one of the things we see here is, it says here in Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Why wouldn't faith come by seeing? Have you ever thought of that? When we see, we believe. See, in the Old Testament, you hardly ever find faith. It's mentioned a couple times, but it's not really attached to somebody having faith in God so much. They went by sight, whatever they saw. And so it is because they were looking ahead. It said in Hebrews 11, it says that they believed on the promises which they hadn't seen. These are my own words. Afar off, they hadn't seen them yet. They hadn't come to pass yet. So faith is a matter of the heart, not in your mind, just what you think. Because the thing is, you can change your mind in a split second, but you can't change your own heart. Okay? God can change your heart. Now you can start believing something, but it takes you quite a while for it to settle in your heart. Even if you try to change something, the way you believe or the way you think about something, it took me a long time to have enough faith in God that I was willing to let go of some of my old religious practices that I thought were going to give me, help me be accepted when Christ returns. And still sometimes those practices want to grab a hold of me. And it does say faith without works is dead. But what kind of works is he talking about? So back to faith is not a matter of the mind. It is a matter of the heart. So that's why exactly why when Jesus came and he brought salvation, the highly educated people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they couldn't get it because it wasn't according to what they had thought in their mind how it's going to be when Christ sends a Redeemer. So they wouldn't accept him. In fact, they make fun of Jesus. How are we doing today? If somebody has faith, maybe they don't quite believe, maybe they're not at the same place that we are in life. How do we view other people? Do we accept other people like God does? God accepted Rahab. The spies went to her house for what? Have you ever wondered why the spies went to Rahab's house? What drew them there? We could go down the road and say, well, maybe they had bad intentions. Maybe that's why they went to Rahab's house. But I choose to believe that God sent those spies there because he knew Rahab's heart. Her heart, she was just a harlot, that's all. She didn't have nothing to prove, but she had her whole life to lose. And she was scared of that. What did it say there? Because of what we saw. What we heard melded our hearts. Does God's business melt our hearts today? Is that enough for us? When we hear about all the things, when we see somebody, maybe somebody confesses something, or Jesus, like I said earlier, maybe they're not at the same place we are. Do we give them the space? Do we allow other people to exercise their faith right where they're at? Or do they have to be an Abraham or a Moses before we accept them? Do we accept? I'm not saying that we should accept sin. That's not what I'm saying. But God saw further. We see a prostitute. God saw a faithful Rahab because she believed. And that's why she lodged those spies when they came, is she believed. She believed that the God, whoever this God was, that was going before the children of Israel, I don't want no part of trying to go against him. She believed, she didn't know God, but she believed in the God that was sparing the children of Israel, parted the Red Sea, fought the battles for them. There was great men that fell, and their hearts did melt. And she received that. And one of the things, too, that we can't go by sight, faith is in the heart, not a thing of the mind, where it also says there in Romans that by hearing, it doesn't say by sight, what we see or what we experience, but it's what we hear. Because our eyes deceive us, right? How many of us would think that when we walk outside that the sun is rotating around the earth? That's not the case, but that's what we see, okay? How many of us believe that water runs uphill? It's not the case. Our eyes can deceive us. You go out west, you could just be sure that that water is running uphill. That's what it looks like. That's why we don't. Faith is a matter of the heart, not in our mind. Or it's not just what we see, because our eyes can deceive us. But our heart will hear through the Word of God and through what we hear and see in other people. And there we go. I say see there because it does make a difference what we see. If we were blind, it might be a little difficult for us to sometimes believe in people, but it won't change what we believe in, how we see God, because faith is quite different than trust. In fact, it says here, having faith in a living God is quite different than having trust in a dying man. Do we get that difference? Again, you can change your mind in a split second, but your heart takes a while. And we can rest assured that God was the one behind all this. We didn't come up with a faith business. God did. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't your idea, but it was God's idea. Faith came along with the whole package of salvation. It says we are saved through faith by grace. Is that right? Saved by grace through faith. That's what it is. We're saved by faith through grace. Praise God that it's not up to us to determine whether somebody has enough faith to make it. That is up to God. I am sure if it would have been up to Joshua or even the spies or me and you, that Rahab probably wouldn't have made it. Because we see the outward things of Rahab. She's a prostitute in the midst of a pagan people, a very sinful person. But little faith she had, and what she did with that faith is what made the difference. She accepted the Lord by that little faith. Do you have little faith this morning? Do you have hardly any faith? Faith is a heart matter. It's not a thing of the mind. Let's get that straight. It's not just something I have had the question asked to me. Can I still have faith even when I don't feel like I have any faith at all? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever felt that way? Like, I am scared of life. There are things going on that, you know, we face things that we fear. And we fall in the trap sometimes of getting bound up in fears, and we can't quite trust what God said is true for me because I don't feel that way. That is why it is so good that faith is a matter of the heart and not of the mind, because you can change your mind really quick, but you can't change your heart that fast. Does that make sense? Am I losing you? I'm just trying to make this clear. I think we can change what we believe. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes it's needful for us to change that. But faith, that little faith that is rooted deeply within our hearts when we got saved by grace through faith, that faith will not easily be removed. No matter what happens in life, that faith is not easily removed. God is the one that looks on that, and the very God of heaven will protect that. I have a quote here from Charles Spurgeon that I really liked on that whole matter. It is not your hold of Christ that saves you, but his hold of you. Did we get that? Spurgeon said, it is not your hold of Christ. It's not like we have a hold of a rope, that rope, that scarlet rope that saved Rahab. Through faith, she put that rope out there. How did she know? Did she trust those men? I think she trusted those men because those men were followers of God, the one that she feared, okay? How did she trust those men to just put that rope out the window and trust that when they come back that they'll see that rope? See, they had a lot of other things. Jericho wasn't the size of this building. I don't even know for sure how big Jericho was. I didn't study up on that, but it was big. So how can they, why would these men be concerned about one little rope hanging from a window? And have you ever thought about how many questions, like Brother Ben was saying about Noah this morning, have you ever thought about how many questions she might have been asked in the meantime? Rahab, what's that rope doing? Have you ever wondered that? Well, how did she respond? Did she lie about that yet? She lied about quite a few other things. Did she lie about the rope? And someday, when we see God, hopefully not if we, but when we see God, I would like to hear, and maybe it's none of my business, but how did Rahab get away with the lion business? How did that all fall into place? Was she, I'm sure that we just read part of Rahab's story, but it's enough. It's enough for me, at least, to make the point what I wanted to make, and let me not get too far off track here. Faith is for ordinary people. Let's believe that. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. And that's the difference. That's the difference. I remember when we're thinking about having faith in a living God is quite different than having trust in a dying man. All of you know that me and Heights used to not get along too well. I'm fine if there's something pretty solid underneath me. But my first adventure in a little plane was quite interesting. And when I was thinking about having trust in a dying man, that's what came to my mind, was after we had left the ground, we were in a little 7-passenger plane, and it was my first time in a plane, and I was scared. I didn't have a lot of faith, I can tell you that, in this whole business of flying. And I was really scared, but I said, well, this pilot, he's an older man, he's probably in his, 70s maybe, he had white hair, and I said he probably knows what he's doing. But I tell you, after 24,000 feet in the air, those white hair took on quite another meaning to me. And I wasn't the one that reminded myself of this, but I had my brother-in-law with me, and I was shaking and carrying on, and I think he was praying more for me than he was for the pilot. But I told him, I said, man, am I ever glad that this man has white hair. That means he's old, knows what he's doing. And then he said, but what if he dies of a heart attack? And my heart hit my throat because I had never thought of that heart attack. I had never thought that this old man could also die. I was putting my trust in him. And the point that I wanted to make here is let's never follow some man, even though I think we should look up to older men that have journeyed. I think us younger men especially do well when we look up to older men and we follow their examples. But let's never put our faith, maybe I shouldn't even say faith, let's never put our trust in an old man or an old thing or an old practice that we have or had or, yeah, let's never put our trust in that because trust is quite different than faith. Faith is born in the heart of a believer that God put there. You can't drum up faith by yourself. Have you ever tried? If you're going through a difficult time, you might want to try that sometimes. Try to produce some faith for a while. See how it goes. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith can come by experience. When we walk with the Lord, we go through hard things. We gain faith when we see God working in our own lives or when we see God working in other people's lives. That gives us faith, not in ourselves, not in other people, but gives us faith in who? Amen. Gives us faith in a living God that will take us through no matter what we encounter. To trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust Him in the darkness is faith. Okay? When we feel like all else has failed, people can come to the lowest of lowest where they even doubt their salvation because they feel. Okay, Brother Moses talked about emotions this morning that were related to anger. But a lot of times our emotions are based off of what we feel, what we see. And that's what gets us to start doubting and fearing. And we can come to the place where, and a lot of people do come to the place, and I've been there myself, that I doubt maybe a little bit that I've ever been saved. Now, I don't really battle with that as much that I doubt my initial salvation because my experience was so dramatic that I'd have a hard time forgetting that. But I have questioned whether I have veered from the faith. Have you ever questioned that? And I think it's a very good question for us to ask ourselves is, how am I doing in the faith? Am I in the faith? Or am I just walking by my own strengths? Do I have faith? How does faith look? And I don't have time to go down that. Faith produces works of righteousness that we can use. We can examine ourselves. We can examine each other. And I believe that's why we're here today, is to sharpen each other and to help us build faith in God, not in each other, not in redeeming love, but we're here to build and encourage each other to have faith in a living God who can take you through, just like Charles Spurgeon said here, to trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust Him in the darkness, that is faith. And that darkness, sometimes you don't even feel it. A lot of times you don't even feel it when your faith is carrying you through a hard thing. See, we are so bound, we like to see things, smell things, taste things, be assured of things. We know, you tell me, how am I doing? If I'm in a dark time, you just tell me what to do. I'll follow you. Because we like when somebody leads us. And I'm not saying that's all bad. I think we should be here for each other in times like that. But we need to trust in the very God that is carrying us when we feel like everything else has failed. God is the one that takes us through. If He took Rahab through, He can take me and you through. If He cared about a prostitute in the city of Jericho, He will surely care about me and you. Can we lose our faith? Can we lose our faith? Maybe a better way to put it is, can we fall away from faith? Well, in the book of Timothy, Second Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as does a canker. In other words, a disease, a gangrene, or something like that. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, those were two brothers that fell away from the faith. And this was why, who concerning the truths have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Okay? The faith we have must line up with Scripture. Okay, they were preaching something that was not lining up with Scripture and thus overthrew the faith of some, not all, but some, erred from the faith because of what they heard, and they were believing that and erred from the faith. And then verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Faith will do that to us. Faith will provoke us to depart from iniquity. If somebody tries to tell you that they have faith, but they're living in sin, I would try to convince you not to believe that. Pray for that person, because they have deceived themselves. Faith will not allow you to continue living in some sin. Faith will not do that, because faith is God's very driving force to guide me and you through life. Okay? Now, maybe that's a little bit out of context when you think about the Holy Spirit, though. The Holy Spirit is what leads us, but I think faith is what pushes us to believe the Holy Spirit, if that makes sense. I didn't think that one through too far. Faith is not just a feeling. Faith is the very thing that keeps us connected to the very God of heaven when all else fails. We can see this in when Jesus was here on this whole thing of, can we fall away from the faith? In Luke 22, verse 31 to 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I, Jesus, have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Maybe that's a little closer to home. Can we lose our faith? Can we fall away from the faith? According to these scriptures, yes, we can. And I would say probably the one that is closest to us today is, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. We cannot serve two masters. Either we're following God in faith, or then we're trying to build our own righteousness, or we're trying to build our own kingdom, or we're trying to, maybe we're trying to defend Jericho, maybe we're trying to protect Jericho, instead of believing like Rahab did when she heard about the things that God was doing with his children. She feared. She didn't try. I'm sure the rest of it, it's that they all feigned it. It wasn't just Rahab. They all feigned it. Why did Rahab get spared? Because she believed in the very God that moved the children of Israel to be so powerful. And there was obedience in Rahab's life that saved her as well. If she hadn't went through with the commitment she made with those two spies when they left, she wouldn't have been saved. In fact, it said there later on that, maybe I'll read here in verse 21 through 24 in Joshua 2 yet. In 21 it says, then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. It seems like she did it immediately. She didn't wait until one day somebody said, hey, there's people marching around the city. Oh, I better get that rope out. It seems to me like Rahab instantly acted on that commitment she had made. Do we? Are we that concerned to follow God in our commitment of faith? Are we that quick to respond to the Lord? Or do we wait until the cloud is over us? And we're dealing with something that has overtaken us, and we feel condemned, and we feel lost. Or do we, when things are still well, the light, you know, it's daylight, we can see God, do we try to do things to embrace and build our faith in God, so that when God comes back in hard times, that our faith will take us through the hard times as well? Verse 22, they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the measures returned. Okay, yeah, that's as far as I want to read there. I just wanted to make that point that Rahab acted immediately on their commitment and what they had decided, and that's why she was spared. Now, if she would have said, well, this is going longer than what I expected, she would have took the rope away. We know the outcome. The only way that they knew that Rahab was still holding to her commitment was by her rope of faith. And that's what God looks at for me and you. Do we still have faith in our heart that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? And I hope that's what we're doing here today, is we're diligently seeking after God. So yes, we can fall away from the faith. So we looked at a few points here. Hopefully, I don't have enough time to go through everything here, so God be with me as I try to wrap this up. We looked at faith is for ordinary people like you and me. It's not for highly educated people that have a college degree and that can figure out and that can debate everything about the Word of God and that can lay the Word of God out to you from cover to cover. And faith is not, probably not for those people. Faith is for the simple in heart that believe what God has done. And the reason we believe is because we have come to a place where we have needed Him. Okay? As long as we don't need God, it doesn't take a lot of faith. We can trust in ourselves. We can trust in other people. We can trust in some practice or tradition. We can trust in a lot of different things. But they do take us away from the faith that God says, without it, we won't see Him. So I don't want this to be a heavy message. I want this to be an uplifting message. The main point being, faith is for ordinary people like you and me. And let that be deep within our hearts. Paul Washer said this way about faith, and I really appreciated it. He said, you ask me what's the greatest act of faith. To me, is to look into the mirror of God's Word and see all my faults and my sin, all my shortcomings, and to believe that God loves me exactly as He says He does. Ain't that amazing? When we look into the Word, we look at circumstances, we look at situations, and it looks hopeless to us. That's when it takes faith to believe that in all my shortcomings, to believe that God loves me exactly as He says He does. When Jesus was here, Peter believed too, and this is why, back to the thing of faith is in the heart, not in the mind. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked him, he was talking to Peter there about, who do the people say that I am? Jesus said, who do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter's response was, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Why is that connected to faith? Because that's what Jesus, Peter, that wasn't Peter. Peter didn't just quickly come up with that. But Peter was following Christ, and Peter believed in Christ because he had seen enough from Jesus that, I know, I'm just sure that you're Christ. So when Jesus asked him the question, what about Jesus asking you the question this morning? Who do you say that I am? Can we say that with the confidence? You know, Peter wasn't just writing Jesus a letter. Peter was standing right there in front of Jesus. And Peter said, you're Christ. You know, Jesus could see every emotion. Jesus can see every emotion from you and me as well. We can't hide anything. But it's just interesting to me that Jesus told him that flesh and blood didn't tell you. In other words, you didn't just get that out of because of what you know and see. But the very God of heaven gave you that in your heart. Flesh and blood. In other words, your intelligence, your study about God, your how smart you are and what you finally mustered up enough trust in me. That's not why you said that. You said that because you believe in me, because God has sent me. Our faith in God should make a difference in the people in the world around us. Our faith in God should save our family, as it did Rahab's. Did you catch that? It was her mother, her dad, her mother, her brothers, and her sisters. Tell them to come in. If they come into your house, because that was Rahab's question, was can they come? Faith will give us a concern for other people, and especially the household of God. And that's what faith will do. So in closing, I have just a couple questions here. Does my faith look down on people like Rahab? Does your faith look down on people like Rahab? And if that is the case, is it faith? Where is it coming from, if that is the case? Do I have a living faith in my heart that will move the people around me and my family to also believe in God as their Savior and Redeemer? The things that happened, the very journey of the children of Israel as they went through the Red Sea and as they went through the wilderness and all the things they encountered, and then finally when they entered into Canaan and how the Jordan parted and everything like that, those things were seen and heard by many people, and it reached all the way over into the city of Jericho. And thus, Rahab was spared because she believed. Through faith, she believed what in the very God that she saw moving. May God help us to have just enough faith to follow Him and not doubt when we get into hard times. Don't doubt your salvation. Don't doubt your God. He doesn't deserve to be doubted. Just trust Him. Trust God with a little faith that we have. And that was another thing I was going to talk about, but time will not allow, is the opposite of faith is doubt. And so I think a lot of us are probably acquainted enough with that. God bless you. It was my privilege here today. I hope like you all don't feel like us Hirschbergers are trying to take over here. That is not the case. But I must say I was very blessed with today, and all of you visitors that are here, thank you for coming and sharing the day with us in worshiping. God bless you.